Pray with me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. O Spirit, I pray that you would speak through me, and I pray that you would speak in spite of me, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts would be acceptable to you. O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Lauren, this is a special day. I want you to take just a moment to breathe in and to look around you. In fact, let's all just look around at each other for a moment. Lauren has been intentionally praying and discerning her call to ordained ministry for 10 years. And the last 4 years, she's been doing that here and with us and here at TAB and through the United Church of Christ. But Lauren, your whole life long, God has been calling you. And so this is a moment here, a special moment of that, of recognizing that call and affirming you. So this is a beautiful day. Lauren wrote about her memory of one of her earliest experiences of God. And she wrote that when she was 5 or 6 years old, she was sitting with her mother and grandmother in a church on Christmas Eve. And Lauren says, "I remember feeling like a very small person in a large place. I was in awe. With clearer eyes, I can now see and understand that it was the presence of God around me that I was feeling." And Lauren, these kinds of memories of your childhood and experiencing the presence of God are really important. And I wanted to lift that up because one of the things I see in you is still that child of God, who perhaps here in this moment still feels like a small person in a very large place, in a very large world. And then to respond as a child would to that sense of being small with the feeling of awe and wonder that you are in God's world and that you are in God's presence, that you are in awe of God's mercy and goodness in your life, even today, many years later. Lauren has shared her journey with me and with many of us. It's a journey of your continual longing for God in your life. You've paid attention to that void inside of you. You've been searching for God to fill that void in your life. And you've also been looking for God in the presence of suffering. Lauren has been drawn to suffering throughout her life, seeing people in the cold. Sleeping outside disturbs Lauren, and I hope that that never stops disturbing you. It disturbed you enough to the point where years ago when you were at the Episcopal Church where you were serving, it disturbed you enough to help initiate a soup kitchen on that day, and that day, today, still feeds hungry folk. Lauren, you've been arrested through acts of civil disobedience because of the suffering of the poor and because of our country's allegiance to militarism and materialism. And it's not acceptable to you, and it's not acceptable to the God you've gotten to know, the God of the prophet Micah, a God who demands true justice and kindness and humility. So, Lauren, you've committed your life to following this God, the God you know best through the nonviolent way of Jesus Christ. And we see your commitment, we see your longing, and we give thanks that God who you met as a five-year-old has not stopped revealing herself to you and calling you. And my hope and prayer is that you will never cease being in awe of God and God's ways. Now, especially now that you will be ordained into Christian ministry, you must not forget that you are always first a follower. You are always first a recipient of God's favor. always first a receiver of love. Only second are you a leader in the church. Only second are you a giver of love. You are first a follower, second a leader. First be in awe of God, then work for God. First allow yourself to be loved by God, then love others. First find your own need for salvation and forgiveness. Second, preach it to others. Do you see that pattern? First, God. Second, work for God. First, awe. First, follow. Because let me tell you, speaking from experience, these very simple truths, which are inherent to the authority we are given to be ministers of the gospel, these are things we tend to forget the most. Which is a bit ridiculous, actually, if you think about it. Clergy, really? Aren't we supposed to be people who are all about God and faith and serving Jesus in the world? Well, that's why this calling is dangerous, because particularly after we are ordained, we are most susceptible, I think, to forgetting. Who we are, meaning we're human beings with gifts and limitations and needs, and we forget whose we are, that we belong to God and to the body of Christ. And to belong to God is to be first a follower of this God, and to belong to the body of Christ is to be accountable to the body. And yet clergy tend to go out and act like lone rangers, set apart, and though, yes, we say Jesus saves, but I still need to be a savior if I'm clergy and make up for when Jesus doesn't seem to show up or seem to be pulling his weight. We act and live as if we're alone, not accountable to anyone, out there fighting the devil in the wilderness all by ourselves with no one who really loves me or knows me. We get into that mindset as pastors and clergy. And so the reason I'm saying this to you, Lauren, is because it's my struggle, and I have a feeling it might be your struggle too. And the thing is that this struggle has something to do with what I just mentioned. We forget easily who we are and whose we are. We forget the firsts. First be a follower. First awe. First become a receiver of God's favor and love. Only then can you lead. I think the other temptation for clergy is to become inattentive to the temptation for power. It is when we are isolated, believe that we are alone, and have that deep void inside, longing for approval and affirmation, and don't feel we're getting it anywhere, that that temptation to power and control is most luring. And I'm not talking about just any kind of power. I'm talking about the power that is reflected most in the empire of the United States. A dominating kind of power. Power that seeks control and at its worst seeks to subjugate, push the margins down so the center, I, can be lifted up. Push others down so I can be lifted up. This kind of power is a temptation for all of us. Now, ordination gives you power to do some basic, practical things in the life of the church. But ordination is also about something invisible and internal, and it is that you have a new kind of authority and power in the life of the church. We are going to vest you with authority today, but we have to be very careful here because it is not the kind of authority that is exemplified in our culture. It is not that kind of dominating power. Now, Lauren, you already heard me preach today. I'm sorry, everybody who has to listen to me a second time. But in our worship service earlier today, we read the story of Jesus being tempted in the desert. We've been focusing on this story throughout Lent, and wouldn't you know, the temptation we focused on today was the temptation for a dominating, controlling power. Henry Nouwen says this, "What makes the temptation of power so seemingly irresistible? Maybe it's that power offers an easy substitute for the hard task of love. It seems easier to be God than to love God. Easier to control people than to love people. easier to own life than to love life. Jesus asks us, do you love me? We ask, can we sit at your right hand and left in the kingdom? We're concerned about status and privilege and power. Jesus wants to know if we will love him and love his people. Now, we know this. The history of the church in North America, and I'm talking about mainly the dominant white established mainstream church that has bathed uncritically in white supremacy throughout hundreds of years. This history is a long and painful history of people, clergy, choosing dominating power over love and solidarity, choosing privilege, control, subjugation of others over the cross. This temptation to power is no joke. It is so rooted in us and in our painful history. It's become established. It's in our churches. And it's so, I think, unattended to in our hearts. And so that's why I want to bring it up for us today, because it can be dangerous and even deathly. And Lauren, you and I are white folk. We're classified as white, and though that is a construction and a fake identity, it functions in our culture and works out well for us because we will be perceived as having more authority because of our whiteness. We will get power and privileges granted to us because of our whiteness. Because of our whiteness, we're responsible to reckon with this painful history that we've been on the wrong side of justice in terms of God's work and God's will. We stand, yes, in the legacy of saints. We also stand in the legacy of sin. And Christian ministers who profited off the subjugation of black and brown folk, we still profit from this subjugation. And so the temptation of Jesus is our temptation all the time, and it will be a temptation even more so now that you're ordained. To hold on to that power and privilege and then do what so many tend to do, pretend that it's not our responsibility, or that we don't really have a problem. The devil loves it when we pretend there's nothing wrong. The devil loves it when we think we don't need help or accountability. That's why we must never forget whose we are, that we belong not only to God, we belong to one another, the body of Christ. That means we must allow the body to correct us, to confront us, when we're using power at the expense of love. Remembering the firsts, first follow, first be in awe, first be loved by God. I think if we can remember these things, it will be part of the armor we need to ward off the temptations of the devil as ministers of the gospel. Because to remember these first means that we will need to attend to our lives. We will need to check our power. We will make sure we allow others to check that power with us. Remembering our firsts also helps us to remember when we don't have power. Okay, this is important as well. There's the temptation to dominating power. Then there's also the temptation to pretend we don't have limitations in our power, that we're tempted to be the savior. But there are times when to check your power is to realize, I don't have the power to change anything in this situation. You are not the savior. You cannot heal people. You cannot save people. Only God can do that. So be aware of the limits of your power. Be aware of your longing for dominating power at the expense of love. Be aware also of the limits of your power. Do not pretend that you're God. Lauren, in just a few minutes, we're going to pray over you, and in that prayer, we're going to authorize you to preach the word, administer the sacraments, exercise the responsibilities of pastor and teacher. And I want you to encourage you to accept that authority with a real clear understanding that the power and authority we are vesting in you is not the power of domination, but of downward mobility. It is the power of love. It is the power of service embodied in the radical way of Jesus Christ. When we place the stole on your shoulders, it is not a symbol of financial success or security. It is not a symbol of safety from suffering. It is not a symbol of safety from suffering. It is not a symbol of lording it over anyone else. We are putting the yoke of Jesus on your shoulders so that you will never forget who you are and in whose service you are called. The God we know in Jesus Christ is the one who did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, humbling himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. The God we know in Jesus Christ did not come to lord it over anyone, but to serve, to wash dirty feet, heal the sick and brokenhearted, set prisoners free, tear down prison walls, center the voices and lives of the marginalized, share supper with those who no one else wanted to eat with. This is the God that you heard first call you, and we are going to empower you to continue to give your life in service to that God. God has called you to a purpose, Lauren, and we are thankful. And we are, all of us, called to a purpose. We are each, truly, each of us, called to be followers first. First follow, first be in awe, first be the recipient of love. Remember who we are, people created in God's image with gifts and limitations and needs, and remember whose we are, that we belong to God and to Jesus Christ, and we are accountable to the body of Christ. Lauren, thank you for saying yes to Jesus. Thank you for saying yes to the gospel, yes to justice, yes to kindness, yes to walking humbly with your God. Live boldly into the authority that is given to you this day. Live boldly into the power that is demonstrated in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But don't do this alone. Lean on God at every turn. Stay close to a community of accountability and help us help me. Practice what we preach and preach what we practice. Amen. Amen.